Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Hallelujah. Welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm excited for you to be here today. I believe that the Lord has a great day planned for us, that He's just going to touch us this morning and refresh us and strengthen us as we step into this new year, and we're just going to know Him and be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
What better way to start off the end of the year than with praise to Jesus? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to get started and sing His praises and worship Him and just be thankful for everything that He's done in 2023 and get expecting for what He's going to do in 2024. Amen? Woo!
Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart.
When you feel the room, you're here and I know you move.
with you. We know that you're here. We want nothing more than to have more of you in our lives, Lord God. That we walk like you, that we talk like you, that
yes,
we think
Lord.
Like you, that we love like you, Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will make room. is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Hallelujah. This is our surrender to you, Lord God. Father, everything that's in us that's not of you, Lord, let us get before you and you just pull it out of us. Shake it up. Break it down. Do what you want to do. Lord, every lie of the enemy, shake it off of us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a blessing over you as we, this is the last day of the year. Is that crazy to say? Yeah, I think so too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
Jesus. I wasn't too sure when God was going to have me give this word that he gave me. And I am blessed and honored that he uses me. I wasn't going to say anything, but the last few months, God has had me sit back because he had to do a work in me. Sometimes you bury things without even realizing you bury them. Even he brought things to my attention that I didn't even realize that as a child growing up that affected me. To this very day, well, not anymore, because that's he took care of it. But things, you know, that how your parents did or what they said or whatever, sometimes you bury them, and when you bury things, things root. They take root in so many different areas that as you grow, those roots grow. I'm standing here today because I allow God to prune me. I took the time and let him do what he needed to do in me. We all have to make that decision at one time or another and many multiple times because life happens. And now I'm standing here. And I'm really full of peace and joy. And I am so looking forward to this next year. Because I believe God's got big things in store for his children. We are his children. And if you're a believer, he's got things in store for you. And whatever road that happens, because life does happen, good and bad, he's going to bring you through each and every step. But sometimes you have to sit back and let him do that work in you. And then once he's done doing that work at that point in your life, then you can move on with joy and peace and really enjoy life. And I'm standing here as a witness that that has happened with me. And I just thank and praise God for that because I'm even seeing a change in my husband that I'm like, wow, God, you know, you not only did a change in me, but because he's married to me, it's seeping onto him too. He's getting some of my benefits. And I just thank God for that because he is so good and faithful, and all the songs that we've sang up here and everything has, it goes along with the word that he gave me. If I can stop shaking long enough to read it. But he gave it to me yesterday in the New Living Translation. And It's in John 15, 4 through 17. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and in them will produce much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way as I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, but because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. And he's told me, this is what he's saying. Jesus is the true vine, and his Father is the cultivator. They work in complete unity, and he is telling us to take heed and do the same. We need to walk more in love and in unity this coming year. Therefore, producing good fruit of loving and caring for one another. He wants us to be all in and committed to following him in obedience and his commands. No matter where the paths lead, no matter how rough the roads may get, the Father is glorified when we bear much good fruit and when we abide in his love. That's when our joy is made full. This is what we were created to do. Any fruit that is not connected to the vine shrivels up and dies and is thrown away. This is why you have to stay connected to the true vine. He is our life support. Read, pray, spend time with him. Stay connected so that you can bear and grow and produce good fruit. This is what he wants for us as a church body for this year.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 God bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and your children. May His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and your children. May His favor be upon you. Their children, may His presence overflow.
Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Thank you, Lord, that you bless our coming. You bless our going. You bless our children. You bless their children. You bless their children.
Amen.
To a thousand generations.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think that was a perfect place to finish this year. Amen. Because I also believe it's the way we're going to begin next year. The Lord's blessing is going to be upon us. His faithfulness is going to be with us. His touch is going to be on our life in great ways. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Just a couple announcements. Ladies, there's no women's breakfast / Bible study for January, but we are going to start up in February, first Sunday, Saturday of the month, here at 9 o'clock. Miss Marie will be bringing the word. It'll be good. We know that. And then we do have a marriage seminar coming up.
Yes.
Let me look at the date here. In February, it's the 17th. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Sorry, it's that Friday. It's the 16th. So February 16th here at the church, we'll get you times and stuff. Then we're going to do the same thing we did last year. The campus pastors, all of them, will be here. You've got Pastor, the head pastor now of Only Believe Ministries in Botkins, Ohio. Yeah. Pastor Nicole and Pastor Randy will be here. And then Urbana's Pastor Kylan and Margo will be here. And then Dayton Pastor Rick and Pastor Lynn will be here. And, of course, we'll be here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So mark your calendar for that. It is all we used to watch videos. They were good. Some of them were good. Yeah. One or two I didn't like, I'm just going to be honest. But when we went to this format last year, I really got more, way more out of it. And I thought it was amazing. Not because from the other ones, like it was just it was good. So we decided to stay with that this year or the coming into this year. You want that. So that's all I have for them.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's going to be definitely a good time. Amen.
Yes.
And right now I want to take just a few minutes to just let you know that out on the counter, I'd like everybody to grab one of these books, and it's called Pray First. And what we're going to be looking at is just prayer and how important it is for us to pray first when we get into situations. And we want to just look at this because then starting on January 7th, we're going to start praying for 21 days, praise God, as a church, believing God for just different things and for his hand to be on our life for the beginning of this next year and for him to just be with us every step of the way. And so grab a hold of this book, Prayer First, out there. And then on Thursday nights for this month, we'll be going over some portions of that as we step in to the new year. Amen. So that'll be a blessing, praise God. And so right now, we just want to go ahead and let the children go and the teens go to their classes. Amen. Praise God. And we're just going to take up a few minutes here to give us an opportunity to give our last offerings into this year. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it when we get to end the year on a day together worshiping God. It says in Malachi chapter 3:10, well, make an announcement.
On the 6th, they're going to be taking down, what time, Candy? 9 a.m. They're going to be taking down the decorations. So if anybody would like to help take those down, that would be great. Please come at 9 a.m. and they will be appreciate the extra hands to help them. And then men, if you're here on Thursday night, will you go see Candy? She needs you to do something, and I can't remember at this moment what that was. the things out of the shed, the bins and stuff. Yeah, to store everything in. Yes. So if you will help us do that on Thursday, that will be great. Thank you. That's all I got.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says right here in the book of Malachi chapter 3, Verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to know something, that the Lord loves to give us his commitment to be a part of helping our life. Now, we're talking about tithes and offerings right now. This is just one area of promise that the Lord gives us a multitude of promises with. We thank him for salvation. We thank him for his blessing on our life. And in this area, we're thankful that the Lord, when you partner with him and in your heart, determine and purpose according to the word of God, how you're going to give and how you're going to sow, that God will honor what you bring to him. He will open up the windows of heaven for you. He will open up doors for you. He will give you favor. He will bless you, and he will direct you through the steps of life that you need to take. Amen? So we're just going to be so thankful, for God has been so faithful to us over this year, and we're just going to honor him today on this last day of the year by bringing our offerings to the Lord and just trusting him and just being faithful to him as he's faithful to us. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for how faithful you've been, God. I thank you for your hand that's always on our life. And God, as we bring to you, Father, and as we honor you and honor the things of you first, Father, and make you a priority, you will always establish us, God. You'll establish our house. You will establish the provision that's in our life, Father. You'll bless us. You'll protect us. You'll keep us. You'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf, God. And you will open up the windows of heaven over our life. Father, I thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Honey, come here. Was it for Philip's birthday? When our name, we were praying and asking God to bring us up because we didn't have one. And we got home and there's a wallpaper bag where the neighbors had put toys, Power Rangers, and stuff. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're just going to get into the word today, and we're going to start in the book of Acts, because there was a time where God had done a miracle, and a couple of his disciples were there, and people were coming to them, and they were just amazed at what happened, and the disciples were really telling them, saying, hey, why are you thinking and looking at us as though we did something? You need to know that this was by the Lord. And that you saw how faithful he was, even though you mistreated his son and would not receive him, God resurrected him, and now he's the reason why this man is healed. And then they gave some instruction here, which I'd like to give to us this morning, because it says that after he told this story and he was preaching to them about how what was fulfilled through Christ and everything that he suffered and how the word had been fulfilled, he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And I want to just start here because there's a couple things that I want you to understand. First of all and foremost, that when we give our heart to the Lord, number one, we become converted. The Bible actually says that we're actually transformed, regenerated. We're quickened to life, and we become brand new creatures in Christ. And along with that, I want you to know that times of refreshing and the opportunity to have resurrection life in areas of our life are open to us. Amen? And I really believe that as we finish out this year and we're stepping into the new year, I believe that the Lord is just going to send forth moments of refreshing. You know, when he talks about refreshing in the Word of God, he's talking about a renewing, a restoration. He's talking about newness of life coming in to those areas where we need God's help. And so what I really want us to understand is that as we are committed to the Lord, he's committed to us. And without fail, when we start pressing into God, you know, when it says repent so that you can be converted, I also want you to know that Jesus said, hey, repent because I'm coming preaching about the gospel of the kingdom. And I want you to know something, that yes, we repent and get saved, but also repentance is about us removing things from our life and from our experiences, from our culture, and from our mindsets that don't agree with God's word. You know, when I start to read something in the Word of God and it starts to be there and it starts to transform me, it's going to start speaking to me about things that are different than maybe the way I grew up, the way I experienced something. The thoughts I had about things are going to change because God's going to reveal to us the true way humanity should live and the true guidelines that should guide our heart. The Lord is going to teach us things like this. It says in John chapter 13 that for us as a body of Christ, the number one thing we should be known for is for our love. You know, we should be known for our love and support one for another. We should be known for the love that is in our family, the commitments that are to our spouse and our children and to our relationships and to our brothers and sisters. We should be known for that kind of love, but also as the body of Christ, we should be known for love one to another. You know, we should be known for those who think the good and the well of everybody. We should be known for those who pick our brothers and sisters up quickly and restore them and help them. We should be known for those that support each other. The Bible says that we should be able to confess our faults one to another and be able to pray together, not go talk about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not to get on the phone and tell people, oh my gosh, did you know this and did you know this? No, that's not what you're supposed to do. When someone confides in you, you're supposed to give your commitment of love and faith to them and support them and pray for them and support them in their journey with the Lord. Because the Bible says that when we do that, guess what? We can be healed. And we will start to see the hand of God moving in our life in great ways. I want you to know when the Bible says that we should be known for our love, it's not just for our family, it's not just for our church members, but the number one love we should be known for is our love for the Lord. You know, the Bible says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know what? When we really love the Lord the way we're supposed to love him, it is an honor for us to walk in obedience to him. It's an honor for us to carry the character and the nature of Jesus into our life. It's an honor for us to reach towards the potential of living a holy life. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that without holiness, we will not see the Lord. And I know that sometimes we like to think that that means that just what it takes for us to get to heaven, but I want you to know something. Holiness is something that you should practice in your life on a day-to-day basis so that you can see the Lord on a day-to-day basis in your life. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and one of them said, Lord, how are we going to know you and the world not know you? And he said, because for those who will abide in me, I will abide in them. And they will see me, they will experience me, and I will be in their life even when the world can't see it. I want you to know something, that we have a responsibility to be known for our love. Our love for each other, our love for the body of Christ, our love for who we are in Christ. You know what's amazing is I want you to know something. You should be known for a love that you have for yourself. Some people would think, oh, isn't that selfish? No, the Bible says this. If you cannot love yourself, then you can't love anybody else. You know why? Because if you don't love yourself, what you're saying to everybody is that God did not create something good, and that's a falsehood. When the Lord created you, it says that he loved you and knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. So I want you to know something. With all our flaws and with all our mistakes and with all our fallibilities and our weaknesses, one thing I want you to know is that the Lord looked upon you, chose you, and thought that there was something great about you. Praise the Lord. And I want you to know something, that you need to learn how to love yourself so you can love someone else. Amen? Once we repent about our past and once we start walking with God, it's time for us to step away from condemnation. It's time for us to not get caught up in the woe is me of everything that we've done wrong and everything that we experienced that has been wrong. It's time for us to say, Lord, I thank you that you've changed me from my yesterday. Amen? It's also time for us to say, Lord, I thank you that even though this situation could have caused an end to me, I'm still here. And if I'm still here, that means I still got value and worth in you. And therefore, I'm going to pick myself up from this moment and I'm going to move forward in you. This is so critical because the Bible also says this. If I cannot love the people I can see, how would I ever love God who I cannot see? You know what? When we're walking in honor towards one another, when we're walking in respect towards one another, when we start being sensitive to other people and saying, hey, I want to lay down my life for someone else. I want to make sure that I'm acting in a way that builds my spouse up. I want to make sure that I'm living my life in a way that will build my children up. I want to make sure that when people around me, they feel safe. I want to make sure that when people around me, they know I have no motive towards them except for that the Lord would do something in their life. And when we start living that way, guess what? We start learning how to love God more. We start learning how God loves us. Because we start opening up our heart to love each other. The Bible says that if I can love the man that I can see, I'll be able to love God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a responsibility that God has given us. When he saved us, you know what the Bible says? That not only did he make us a brand new creature, but he made us a reconciler of others that can come to the Lord. I want you to know something, that your nature and who you are, when you start representing Jesus, you actually become a vessel that can open up avenues for other people to be turned to Jesus. You know what? I want you to know that your prayers and when people ask you to pray for them and when people ask you different things, I want you to know something, that you're opening up avenues for them to be reconciled to the Lord. The Bible also calls us ambassadors, doesn't it? What that means is you are a representative and an advocate for Jesus Christ. I want you to know something, a part of who you are and a part of your nature that comes upon you in salvation is that you become a person that's not afraid to talk about the gospel of Jesus. You become a person that's not afraid to tell people, hey, the good in my life comes from the Lord. If you think I'm a nice person, if you think anything about me is good, I want you to know what that extends from is because of what the Lord has done in my life and in me. You know, we have a voice to speak about who we are in the Lord. Amen? And I want you to know something, that as we think about the goodness of God and the refreshing of God that can come upon us, you know, the Bible says that when two or three agree in Him, amen. Help me preach this morning. Help me preach the word this morning. But the Bible says when two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst of us. I want you to know something, that how we interact with the Lord is a part of what brings His refreshing into our life. I want you to know something, that in our home, and even in our workspace, everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to bring with us an atmosphere that the Lord is there in. And I want you to know something, that especially as we come into this new year, I want to make sure that we're committed to those things and to that revelation of saying that when I walk this thing called life, I want to make sure that the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, praise God, chapter 6, the Lord is speaking here. And He's talking to people, and He starts to speak to them. And we're going to go to verse 43 and see what Jesus says. And it says, He's given a parable, and He says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not go to gather figs, nor of bramble do they go there to gather grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart has the mouth spoke. And He says this, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I want you to know something, that one thing we're going to have to make sure that we do in this life we're living, especially in the time in which we're living, is we're going to have to make sure that we never compromise ourselves to fit into the convenience of the day. I want you to know something, that we can have progressive attitudes grow around us. We can have the world think any concept that they want to think. But I want you to know, for the body of Christ and for Christians, this word was written not just for back in the day. This word was written for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I want you to know something, 1,000 years from now, God will still believe in humanity the way He first believed in us. 1,000 years from now, murder will still be wrong. 1,000 years from now, living your life without the Lord will still be wrong. 1,000 years from now, you know, the Bible says this about Jesus. Not only is He the Lord and the preeminent one in this present time, but it says that in the future, in anything that will ever be, Jesus is still going to be Lord. Woo! I thank God that the Bible says that heaven and earth can pass away, but the Lord's word will still be the same. Amen? And I want you to know something, that it says here, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I want you to know something, that the greatest thing the Lord has ever given us is salvation. The greatest things he's ever done for us is bringing the redemption of the love of Christ to regenerate us and give us brand new life and give us eternal life where we get to go to heaven. But I also want you to know, with that great benefit comes a great responsibility that we are not just going to receive him as Savior, but he has to be Lord. That means that my way no longer goes. My own opinions and my own thoughts that are not based in the Word of God are not even relevant. Amen? Woo! It means that if he's going to be Lord, and he is, I mean, if he's going to be Savior, and he is, he also has to be Lord. And we can't call him Lord without doing what he says that we should do. I want you to know something, that the Lord wants to walk a very intimate relationship with you so that he can bring reverence and love to your relationship. He wants you to walk with him individually because he made you as an individual. And he wants to give you the convictions and the understanding of the Word of God and how you're going to live through him. It says here, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and does them, I will show you to what he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." I want you to know something. What this is saying to us is that our relationship with the Lord can't not be a surface thing. Can't just be, hey, I go to church on Sunday for an hour or two, and then the rest of the week I just do my own thing. No, no, no. The relationship with the Lord is just like this man building the house. He had to dig deep and make a firm foundation. I want you to know something. We're going to have to dig deep and get the word rooted in our heart enough that what flows out of our heart is always a foundation of the goodness of God. Amen? Because if we do that, then we will be just like this house that was built upon the rock. When the stream came and the winds blowed, even though it came in a violent, fast, hard manner, it says that that house stood strong. And I want you to know something, that when the waves of life come upon us, when we are founded on Jesus the way he wants us to be founded, then things can come and things can be difficult and situations can come into our life that are bigger than who we are. But when we're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus, it will never overtake us. It will never be stronger than who we are in him. I want you to know something, that the Bible says that a good man may fall 7 times. Woo! That means that in this life, you may find out that there's times where we even made wrong and bad decisions. There might be times where we created some of the difficulties that we face. But I thank God that he says, however, in me, a righteous person may fall down, but they're going to be able to get back up. I thank God for his goodness and his restorative nature that he gives towards us. You know, it says this. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I want you to know something, that God is such a loving God that he would never be a puppet master. He loves you so much that even though it breaks his heart when we don't choose him, he still gives us the authority to receive him or not. And he doesn't hide what's going to happen to a person that doesn't give the Lord room in his life. It is going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to failing. It's going to lead to difficulty. And I want you to know something, that the love of God is so great that the good and the bad is that he loves you enough that he lets you make your own decision. You know, I think it's amazing, though, because the Bible says what? That we in our humanity, once we have the Lord in our heart, we can forgive our brother 70 times 7 in a day. That means 490 times in a day you can mistreat me and be mean to me and all that, and I have the power to forgive you. But what's so amazing about that is that if the Lord would say that we're able to do that, how much more so is he able to forgive us and love us? That's why, you know what? We might not have got saved the first time we heard the gospel. And we certainly may not have made the commitment to really live for God the first time we ever started this relationship. But there comes a time where the goodness of God and the conviction of God causes us to come to that place of accountability where we say, hey, you know what? I need to make a decision, and I need to make a serious one. And I want you to know something, that that is what's going to take for us to move forward in the Lord. Amen? We're going to have to dig deep, and we're going to have to be serious about our commitment to God. I just want to go over here to the book of Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to read to you really what's a call to discipleship and a call to live for the Lord. It says here in Luke chapter 9 verse 23 that Jesus was speaking again, and he said to his disciples and those that were listening to him, he said to everybody there, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. I want you to know something, that what the Lord was really saying here to us who are listening is that if we're going to really live this life the way we need to know him and be his, then what does it mean to lay down your life to save it? It means that we have to leave man's natural way of thinking. It means that we have to lay down pride. It means that we have to pick up the Lord's way of doing something. And not just once in a while when it's convenient for us. The Bible says that daily we need to pick up our cross and follow him. What does that really mean? It means that on a day-to-day basis, if we are a Christian, and we are, we have to choose to live this life the way the Lord would have us live this life and not the way we'd live it under our own doing and our own way of seeing things. I want you to know something, that if we're going to pick up our cross, it means that in every situation, we are going to give authority to Jesus and not ourselves. We're going to work and we're already running a little bit behind, and somebody pulls out in front of us and starts driving real slow. Hey, I want you to know something. That's not a time for you to revert back to a time where you'd be cussing, fussing, and acting crazy. It's a time for you to keep the praise and worship music on. It's a time for you to keep the proper attitude and say, Lord, I am in your hands. I want you to know something. When we're walking through Walmart at Christmas time and somebody's bumping into our cart and somebody races to get in front of us and we only have a couple things in our hand and they got a big cart that's going to take 20 minutes to unload, it's not a time for us to say, hey, I'm going to have the attitude I want to. I'm going to tell them how I feel. No, it's a time for us to make sure that we're walking in patience, kindness, and the reflection of the Lord. I want you to know something. When we come home from a long day of work and we've already worked overtime and we thought we were going to walk in the house and smell a good meal cooking and maybe our dear loved one is sick that day or just didn't get it done in time, it's not time for us to come in with our puffed up bad attitude of pride and our disappointment of our long hours and because everything didn't go our way for us to just act in a nasty, hateful manner. I want you to know something. It's time for us to make sure that in every situation and every opportunity, we choose to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Amen? I want you to know something. That God wants nothing more than for you to be successful in this thing called life. He wants nothing more for you to walk and live in His blessing and His goodness, and His nature will carry you through every situation when we lean into Him. You know, we're going to just take a few minutes here and we're going to look to a man that we should know as believers. And his name is King David. I want to look at 1 Kings chapter 2. And I want you to see something that David was about to hand off the role of kingship to his son Solomon. And it says something here in 1 Kings chapter 2 that I think is very profound. And we're just going to read this and then talk about it for a few minutes. Because in 1 Kings chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." In other words, be a man. Woo! "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, to have a man on the throne of Israel." I want you to know something that I think this is so profound, because we have King David, who's known for so many things. He's one of the greatest kings in the Bible. He amassed so much wealth that they could build one of the most greatest temples of worship that's ever been built for the Lord. He's seen his kingdom grow. He overtook so many. Remember, they used to say, hey, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. As a warrior, he was unstoppable. He had Goliath, who he defeated and did so much for. Did so much for the body, for the kingdom of Israel by defeating Goliath at a time where the Philistines was trying to make them become servants to them. And we know that David did all this stuff. And I think it's so amazing, because when he sat his son down, he did not tell him any of his great stories about kingship. He told him that if you are really going to be a man and be successful in this life, what you're going to do is serve the Lord. He could have told him anything. You would think that he could have walked out and started showing him the greatness of his kingdom and all of these different things and all the warriors that he had and all of this. But he was giving his son the secret to living for the time he would be on this earth after David was gone. The secret to living was that he needed to serve the Lord. You know, it's amazing, because I want to talk about King David for a minute. Remember, he said, he's the man that said, hey, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaking or begging bread. I want you to know something, that in King David's life, he had his highs of great highs, didn't he? Not only overtaking Goliath, but the time that they were calling him king before he even took up the throne, to all the success he had. But I also want to remind you that there was a time where David went through great persecution. You know, He celebrated his overtaking of Goliath for a very short time, because right after that, the king at that time started to fear about him being the king, and so he was chasing David down to try to kill him. David had to spend time out in caves by himself. At one point, it says that he was in a cave, and only the distraught, the discontent, and the broken was around him. David's the man that made his own bad decision the time where he took Bathsheba to be with her when she wasn't even his wife, and he made that big mistake. And so what we see from David is that, yes, he was a great king of success, but he was also a king that had went through some failure and disappointment. And what he understood was what brought him through it. Because even when he made his mistakes, the great thing about David was not only would he admit it, but he would repent of it, and we never read of him going back over those same situations. And it's amazing that he said to his son, after all that he experienced in life, "Son, if you're going to live life and be a man, you're going to have to serve God." And I want you to know something. Let it be said to us that if we're going to be people today and be the women that we're supposed to be and be the men that we're supposed to be, the way we're going to do it is we're going to have to serve God. We're going to have to suck it up. We're going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to shake ourselves off. We're going to have to dust ourselves off. And we're going to have to get up. And we're going to have to serve the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know something. You are strong enough to. You can. You can recover. You can be restored. You can be refreshed. And you can stand strong in the goodness of what God has for us. Praise God. I just want to share just a few more little moments with you, if that's okay. Praise God. In the book of Psalms 37, I just want to share a few scriptures. I could go down and read the whole thing to you because it's very consistent in the message it gives. But I'm just going to read the first five or six, seven verses here. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." You know, one thing I don't ever want us to make the mistake of doing is ever look at the world and look at those people who are successful in this world's way of doing things and be disappointed. I don't ever want you to look at the life of a movie star or someone who has got fame or greatness in the eyes of the world and have made a name for themselves through all these different avenues. I don't ever want you to look at that and let that make you be disappointed at where you are in life. I don't ever want you to look at that and make you sit there and think, "Oh, I bet I'd have it so much better off if I had this and this and this." Because the truth is, I wouldn't want to have all those things without making sure that I had a foundation in the Lord. Because all of that will end up being nothing at the end of life. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I want you to know something, that when we read that, that doesn't mean that the Lord's just going to give you everything that you want. No, it means that when we start submitting ourselves to the Lord, boy, our goals and our focuses will change. He will give us the desires of our heart, in that he starts overtaking those thoughts and those desires that are not good, and he will start giving us desires that are important. I want to be faithful. I want to live a life of integrity. I want to be faithful to my wife, to my family. I want to be a man that lives under the guidelines of God. God will start giving you the desires of your heart. Amen? Ooh. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know what? When we start committing our way to the Lord and we start committing our life to God and we start pressing into what he has for us, guess what? We will know God. We will find freedom. We will discover purpose and we will make a difference. It says that he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked device to pass. Rest in the Lord means that we get to a point in this thing called life where while we're on this journey, one thing we're going to do is put our confidence in him. We're going to have our peace in him. And that way, we won't get over anxious. We won't get overburdened, and we won't get overrun with the day-to-day challenges of thing called life. When we rest in the Lord, he will renew our strength. When we rest in him and wait upon him, he will cause us to rise up and be able to handle every situation that comes across our path. So I want you to know something, that as we step into a new year, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be refreshed. I want you to have hope and know that God is going to be faithful to every one of us. He's going to help us. He's going to be there. And he's going to bring us through. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift you up and exalt you today. We declare your glory, God. We declare your greatness, Father. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that just like David said, that young and old, and you never forsake us, Father. You're with us through everything. You go before us. You go behind us. And you stand right with us in the middle of every situation. Lord, not only do you dwell around us, but the word says that you shall be in us, God. You strengthen us. You complete us. You make us who we are. And Lord, right now, with all of us praying and our heads bowed, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know the Lord or that has walked away from God and you want to return to him, I want you to just lift your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see that hand. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You can put your hand down. Praise God. And we're going to pray this prayer together as a group this morning. Say this with me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you that Jesus went to the cross for me, that I could be saved, that I could find freedom and discover who I am in you. Lord, I thank you that as I commit to you from this day forward, you will help me in every step of my life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I tell you what, I'm just declaring the blessing of God over our life. Amen. And I'm just thankful for God's goodness. I want you to go from here and I want you to celebrate this last day of the year. Praise God. And if you want to stay up and watch the new year come in, I tell you, I will be snoring by then. Praise God. And I will be resting well, and I'll bring the new year in by faith, hallelujah, in my sleep. But if you want to stay up and watch it come in and watch the balls drop and all that, celebrate, have fun, enjoy yourself, and then let's step in to our tomorrow with great expectation. Amen? Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Hallelujah. And I will be here to pray with anybody that needs prayer on anything. Amen? I'll be back to see you in just a minute.